Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. England and Croatia are now at the half, and they are tied at two. Maybe the premier matchup here of the first round of games. Anyway, the first week of games, as Musa has tallied from FC Dallas for Croatia. He just hit the equalizer. No offside upon VAR. Here's Wolchuk with his fix.
Let's go ahead and get our football fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
All right, all eyes on Brendan Sorsby, July 10th. He's going to have his workout at South Lake Carroll. Ron Slavin, his agent, in an outstanding interview this morning. Great questions from the morning show. If you want to go back and check that out at 8:20 on the Odyssey app, I encourage you to do so. Now, where's he going to go in the supplemental draft? Ben Solak had a great article out today on ESPN going through some of his strengths and his weaknesses, but he also ranked which teams are the best fits. Now, he's got five of them, and it goes Atlanta at five, because you've got Michael Penix Jr. and Tua. I understand. You know, maybe you don't have a solution there.
No, you don't have a quarterback, really.
Indianapolis at four. That would also make some sense. Daniel Jones coming off an Achilles injury, and they're probably looking to move Anthony Richardson.
Had to go to Phil Rivers last year.
Yeah, that's true. Minnesota, which is the ideal place, in my opinion, for him to go. You've got Kyler on a one-year deal. I feel like the J.J. McCarthy experiment has not gone well, and they've kind of moved on. And I think Kevin O'Connell would be an ex. I think he fits the style of quarterback that Kevin O'Connell likes. Mobile, can get outside the pocket, play action game. He can create. At three, I like the Minnesota fit. And then the top two would be Carolina, which is interesting. Bryce Young. Maybe they put him on notice.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday, Dawson. I think that's that makes some sense if you're just not totally sure, you know, about where you're headed with one of these guys.
It's crazy because when I said it, I wasn't totally sure immediately afterwards. I was like, isn't that kind of stupid with Bryce Young going to year three?
I don't think it is, though, because it's like you're going to have that conversation. I don't know what Bryce Young's going to demand. But is he a quarterback?
It's just
that's
such a massive show of no confidence in Bryce.
It's
like
true.
What that would do to the building and the locker room.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
I mean, he is the second national dude that I've heard bring up the Panthers, and I'm like, maybe it wasn't that stupid of an idea.
No, because his contract's about to come up, right? And I don't know, like, if you're running an organization, are you feeling great about paying Bryce Young $50 million a year or whatever that he's going to have to command? I don't know.
I just love Brada sauntering in right now with probably some green tea, goat urine looking drink, and he's housed. How many pastries did you just crush from the kitchen?
Oh, how many
from
cupcakes?
The office kitchen? Two.
They're really good.
Here it is.
But I had to do some business for the show.
What'd you do?
There you go.
I was talking to DJ about how we're going to have our soccer operation on Friday.
This is live coverage of Brada talking with a cupcake in his face. Continue. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate that. No, you're going
to
get
that's why
up.
I had to have the water, man. These things are pretty dry.
A little dry in the mouth.
Number one,
number one fit for Crosby, Ben Solak saying, or for Sorsby, Green Bay.
Crosby.
Green Bay.
Okay, yeah, I could see. I mean, Green Bay is they are the standard of we love to have options at the position.
They do. And
that's
Jordan
who they
Love,
are.
I mean, Jordan Love's one of these guys. It's crazy. It's like you've seen him elevate his game and he plays and he looks like he's one of the best quarterbacks in football, but his lows are also very low. But then you also wonder how much help has he really had? His wide receivers are constantly hurt.
Yeah.
You know, but then they're going out paying Christian Watson a bunch of money.
It's weird. Just, it's not the same.
Green Bay is kind of a weird team. Like, they're a team that could be a contender in the NFC. I don't think it would shock anybody. But I think if you're a Cowboy fan, you're also kind of hoping they suck this year because you're getting their draft pick.
Well, unless yours is better, right?
Yeah, I guess it's true.
The Jets get the worst of the picks. But nonetheless,
either way,
I do think the Packers are an interesting one to throw out there. And then, I don't know, did you mention the Eagles?
Doesn't the Jets get the worst of the picks? That's
the
cool.
The Jets, the better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, I might have missed.
Worse for you.
Worse for you.
Bounds of misinformation I work with.
Yeah. Howie Roseman,
Philly makes sense.
Doesn't Howie?
Yeah, Philly makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to your point about Bryce Young, that's going to be really bad for Jalen Hurts because he is mentally fragile. Like, he didn't want him taking Quinn Ewers. Yeah. He is not a guy that wants them taking a quarterback. But at this point, they might be in the mode of, like, screw you, Jalen Hurts. We're already kind of seeing this is it for
you.
And
they did the same thing to Carson Wentz. We know for a fact Philadelphia isn't a team that worries about what a quarterback controversy could potentially do.
Yeah.
Right.
I did want to say, yes, the Packers haven't had wide receivers. Jordan Love has had a top 10 scoring offense every year he's been the starter.
Yeah.
LaFleur is the man.
Yeah, he is a good coach. And they run the ball well. I mean, Josh Jacobs has been fantastic for them. That was a really nice signing, you know, via free agency. He's provided them a lot.
Right, up until about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, now we don't know. Now, speaking of the Eagles, they have signed Dallas Renegades corner, Sean Wade. He has signed with the Eagles. He had an outstanding UFL season, so there is another UFL player getting another chance in the league. Former Ohio State corner was the 160th pick of the 2021 draft by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
And now will be in Philly. Broncos also signed the UFL Offensive Player of the Year, Hakeem Butler. He has won this award twice, and now he has been in the NFL two times after that. It didn't work out the first time. Spent two games with the Eagles. He's also played with the Steelers and Cincinnati. But now we'll see if he can get a spot in Denver. Wide receiver.
Oh, okay. Two-time UFL Opoy?
Opoy, yep. Two-time.
I'll take
two-time. And shout-out to the long snappers, fellas. I needed to wait until Brian got back in the room.
Snap.
The Jags have signed their long snapper, Ross Matisic, to a two-year extension worth $3.8 million in new money. He is now the NFL's new highest-paid long snapper. Can you believe it?
Congrats.
$3.8 million? Snap the Cooper.
Amazing.
Congrats.
Amazing. Yeah. That's big-time money.
Snap the Cooper, for sure.
All right, let's go to Crown Global Media. Darren Woods, we've played some cuts from this, but here's Woody talking about your new defensive coordinator, Christian Paca.
I think, well, I was just around Christian Parker and that defense just the other day. We got invited back to the former players came in and spent some time. And I've heard a lot about, you know, the new defensive staff and what they're doing. And we sat in a couple of meetings. And let me tell you, this is going to be a different team.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen, wins, losses, but they're building a foundation defensively that is so different from what it's been. This is not just casual. They're power thinking through processes, and they're taking their time. And I like it. I just think that there's a different atmosphere around that organization.
I love it. I mean, that's a guy who's been there. He's done it at the highest level. Hall of Famer in our book. Should be in the NFL's book as well, but it's good to hear, you know.
And he can recognize good coaching.
He can.
Yeah.
And I still love the fact, you know, one of my favorite things that Shoddy has done is really tapping in and bringing back, like, the old Cowboys greats. Emmitt Smith was out there. We saw pictures of him at practice yesterday.
He was.
You know, I think that's great, you know, to really emphasize the history of the Dallas Cowboys. But everything we're hearing right now, it is Kool-Aid season, as I've said many times, but it is in the right direction. You know, is it year one? This thing's just going to be totally fixed? Probably not, right? I'm expecting growing pains at times. But goodness gracious, it looks like the arrow is certainly pointing in the right direction. And the Cowboys are not the only defense that has a new defensive coordinator. So does one in your new division.
Yep.
No, another gold.
Bellingham. 3-2.
Gosh, England. What a match. This is outstanding. Just to start the second half, here goes England back up 3-2. This would be a crazy FIFA shots game. See, now everybody's taking shots. Somebody scores a third goal, everybody takes a shot.
So we're five shots in?
Now we're five shots in, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be we should have brought a handle up here. Maybe we should do that. Mm. So you want to get out of retirement just for the FIFA World Cup, Dawson?
No, probably not worth it.
Shame
on me. Let me get the kids out of the house first.
Right, fair enough. We'll take a couple years.
Team USA wins it all.
Yes.
Okay.
Hammered.
That's fine.
Really?
Yeah. I like that. Yes, hammered. No hesitation.
All right.
All right. Commanders Johnny
Newton.
What
would the parade
be? That's a good question.
New York City?
Probably.
Think so?
Well, that's where the championship.
Where did the ladies? I think the ladies, when they won the World Cup, ladies had it.
Yeah, you got to do the whole ticker tape thing down Broadway or whatever.
What do they call it? The Canyon of Champions?
Yeah, Canyon of Champions.
That is?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do that.
Did I get that right?
Give it away.
Absolutely.
Canyon of Champions.
Commandos.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah,
right down Broadway.
Commandos got themselves a new defensive coordinator as well. Here's Commanders Johnny Newton talking about their new defense.
Johnny Neutron?
He said we got to be a whole bunch of Denzel Washingtons. So, great actors. And, I mean, if everything looks the same, it opens up the pressures, the stunts that we have, because it all looks the same. So it just confuses the offense, slows them down.
So similar deal. You know, you've got Coach Jones who's coming off the Brian Flores tree, which is a lot of disguising, mixing and matching. They're also, you heard the brain work stuff that we've talked about with CP, but Washington's defense going to look a lot different. He's mentioning actors pre-snap. We're kind of, you don't know what we're going to do post-snap. Boom, we're going in another direction. So the NFC East as a whole, I really think it could be the most improved division in all of the National Football League. You got a new coach there with the Giants. We'll see how Jackson Dart does. I think Washington should bounce back and be a lot more competitive this year. Philly might be on the downside, but that's still a super talented team. But the NFC East is going to be a challenge this year. I don't think this is going to be easy like it has been in years past.
You think you're going to have to win 11 games?
Oh, almost 4-2. I'm
sorry.
Like
doggy dog.
I think just the floor raises for the division, but I don't think there's a 12 win
like a
team
dominant in team in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it'll be, you know, it's similar to like the AFC North where they just kind of beat up on each other a little bit. But it used to be you could go 5-1 in this division for Dallas easy. I think these teams are going to be a little bit more of a harder out than they have been in years past within the division. Now, this is a really cool article from one cool customer who's pumping out some good stuff on Blogging the Boys. He ranked total QBR, and he ranked NFL quarterbacks by their number of bad games. Now, when you look at QBR, the stat is if you get a 75 or above, it's considered a good game in the NFL. If you get a 40 QBR or below, it's a bad game. So here is the exercise where he looks at quarterbacks, 36 quarterbacks with more than 20 starts, and what is their percentage of bad games? Where tier one is dominated by Patrick Mahomes. He's only averaging one bad game per season. Compared that to some random quarterback like Eli Manning, whose 38.8 bad game percentage would be the equivalent of seven bad games per a 17-game season relative to his peers. Mahomes is on a different planet. He is the only quarterback that is on Tier 1. In fact, out of all of his games started, he's got 126 games where he's got a plus QBR, only nine of them in his career. Has he had a below 40 QBR that's considered bad games? So out of Mahomes' entire career, you're looking at nine bad games. That's
why. Do they have the teams listed who he played poorly against?
No, they don't have that. We don't have that. Tier two is green. The second tier here are quarterbacks that simply don't have a lot of stinkers on their ledger, which means their performance very rarely is the reason their teams lose. And that does not automatically make them elite quarterbacks, but the numbers here suggest they minimize their errors and bad plays, and they consistently keep their teams in the game. The interesting thing here is there seems to be a new guard of quarterbacks. This is where you get Drake May, who has only had three bad games out of the 30 that he has started in his career. 27 of them were positive.
And all three of those were the playoffs this year?
Yes, and I don't think it probably was. Jordan Love is in this category, who we just talked about. Brock Purdy is in this category as well. He's got seven stinkers compared to 45 good games. And then you've got Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, Rain Dakota Prescott, and Lamar Jackson in Tier 2 on this list in the green. In fact, Dak numbers, you've got 138 games started with a plus QBR of 75 or more compared to just 26 with the 40 or below. So Dak's actually above of even Lamar when you look at just this metric of grading quarterbacks. It's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. I wonder how many of those are his playoff games as well.
And against the best defenses.
No question.
Tier three is Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and Kirk Cousins, who are averaging about 3.5 to 4.5 bad games per 17-game season. Worst quarterback on this list, which is the Eli Manning pit of endless misery tier, tier five. It's Caleb Williams.
He might not have had a good one his entire rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 41% bad games about his career. So you're looking at like, I mean, that's getting close to 50-50, but I think you're right. I think the large portion of that is his rookie season. But
the big focus this year for him, they're talking about in Chicago, is can he increase his completion percentage? Because I think it was 58 last year. I don't think you can have sustainable success in the NFL like that. And certainly they had like a
a Washington Commanders 2024 vibe to their run last year.
A lot of close games.
Big plays. Yeah. You know, the defense really wasn't all that, but they came up with. Yeah.
They would be a team that I could see regress to the means. I bet when we get the article that comes out from Bill Barnwell every year, like the four teams that'll be better and the ones that'll be, you know, back to kind of below 500.
Closer to average.
Yeah, that could end up being the Bears on there. And shout out McKinney Boyd, Ross Matissick, one best long snapper in the league. Didn't realize he was a local guy from McKinney Boyd.
Okay, we got to run. Thank you, Wolchuk. Time flies when you are having fun. There is your football fix. I think I'm going to call England winning this mofo. And I know France is an absolute juggernaut, and Argentina looked amazing last night. But this is the most impressive group play performance I've seen so far, as they lead Croatia 3-2, 54th minute. Could easily be 4-2 right now. We're coming back with Sounds of the Sports Day, Chief.
Yes, sir. A big salute to the Scots, a filthy sports jinx, and please, no F-bombs. Next.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brathan, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brathan wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. So England has outshot Croatia 18-4 and shots on target 9-2, but it is still a 3-2 game in favor of England out there at the stadium. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here's Eric with some more sports.
Yes, sir. Sounds of the Sports Day. Got some good clips here for you. And we know the Scots have completely taken over Boston, representing for the World Cup. And they've drunk them dry. And this is we actually have some sound of a Boston sanitation worker. Okay, listen to the compliments he has for the Scots.
They deep, man. And they could drink, too.
What? Are you kidding me, man? They must don't got no water over there in Scotland.
After they're gone, I'm one person cleaning up after them, man, and it ain't that bad. They came, conducted themselves, man, with class, dignity, man, and they like our city. So I'm happy they came, man.
How about that? This dude was blown away. Like, he's a one-man band of having to go clean up, like, the streets and parks where they had just taken over and boozed for an entire weekend. And he was like, they clean the place up pretty nicely.
Scotland does?
Yeah.
Going Japan on you.
I know. Huh. I guess that's a thing, dude.
I didn't have that on my bingo card. Mm-mm.
I didn't either. Thought they were just going to just run amok, tear it all up, be as drunken as you could ever imagine. Yeah.
Fighting and peeing in the bushes.
Nothing but good vibes in there.
No, we only do that.
No scent of urine, according to the Boston sanitation worker. So respect to the Scots.
That's right.
And Wyatt Langford. They're all in a nice suite there.
Kamar Rocker was up in there.
After his
surprise, he's shown face today.
Start yesterday.
I tell you what, it's funny. I was telling you guys, my dad, we were watching the Rangers, and got to the point where it was like 6-0. Dad just says, that's soccer on right now. You know, my dad does nothing about soccer. He's like, you know, he's just like, hey, is that soccer on? Yeah. So just shows you how bad the Rangers were.
I feel like a lot of people were clicking over last night.
Yeah.
100%
through
there.
Yeah. Now,
bad.
I saw a little excerpt from a story out of Boston saying, in Saturday's afternoon heat, one patron entered Federal Wine and Spirits in Boston's financial district and purchased two bottles of water. The storefront, packed with 15 to 20 Scots, booed her for the purchase.
Oh, wow. These guys know how to have a good time.
They do, man.
Where do they play next?
Fantastic.
We know where they go next. Where do they? What's their next match?
Scotland?
Yes.
Let me look.
I'm sorry. I should have looked that up myself. I thought maybe somebody knew it off the top of their head.
Outsource your research to others.
Yeah. They're going to play Morocco on Friday, and it is at Boston Stadium.
Okay.
I think it's staying
back.
Boston.
They're back.
Do you see what they're doing at Boston Stadium, which is obviously Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play? Okay, there's like over 64,000 seats in there. And the under portion of the seat, like the seats flop up, you know, when you're not sitting in it, then you pull the seat down to actually sit. Well, when the seats flop up, they have a little like Gillette Stadium logo on there. And so somebody, I guess, or a multitude of different people had to go out there. They've taped up the Gillette Stadium on the undercarriage of every seat, 64,000 plus seats.
With blue tape just to cover the logo.
Blue tape just to cover the logo of Gillette. That is how deep FIFA goes to make damn sure there is no advertisement that doesn't go back to them.
There are players that were wearing Beats on the field.
Oh, they had to cover it?
And they made them tape them up. They went down there and taped up the guy, the logos on their Beats.
But the seats, though, how many of us got to do that? Is it like a two-man crew, three-man crew? Like, that's insane.
A lot of tape.
When the boss hands that down, you have a tear coming out your eye. Like, we got to do what?
Yeah, you got to recruit.
I'll pick up something to carry some today, sir. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that.
Country that's got all those hard criminals. What was that, El Salvador? What is that? That group, they brought all those people over to do all the
stuff. Yeah, just go ahead and knock that out. Janie King country, staff.
What was that country that...
El Salvador sounds it, right. Like, you're talking about Prison Break season 2?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do remember.
Those guys.
Jesus. You're in your bag right now.
Man, bring the prisoners. Have them tape up the seats.
I'm just telling you, man.
You know how annoying it is to pull off pieces of tape, though?
You know what? Put them out there.
Yeah, to have to even just having to rip the tape 60,000+ times. Is an absolute beating.
After 5 or 6, I feel like I'm going to pull my hair out.
Yeah, dude.
Is that one
it's
guy?
It's got to be 50 people,
There's
bro.
No way that's one guy. No chance.
Hey, this is your task for the next 3 months.
You hated my prisoner idea, didn't you? Yeah, okay.
I loved it. I loved it, man.
Sword piece punishment.
Shooting from the hip over there, dude. I freaking love it. Okay, so let's see. What else do we have in here? Sounds of the Sports Day. Oh, yes, of course, we have the 76ers new president of basketball operations. His name is Mike Ganzi, and he's brand new to the city. He just got hired a few weeks ago. He's going to be running point, basically, in the front office there for the 76ers. So he shows up, and he's at a Phillies game. You got Jesus Luzardo having himself a nice game through 5 innings, trying to get that no-hitter. Here is the new Sixers president being interviewed behind home plate.
Sixers' new president of basketball operations, Mike Ganzi, and head coach Nick Nurse down here as we go to the top half of the fifth inning. Fellas, thanks for joining us. Mike, welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How's everything going your first couple of days?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Glad we're out to an 8-0 start right
here. Yeah, we are.
First game, man.
No
first
hitter. Game no hitter still intact.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Lizardo's been a... Mike.
He almost said it.
He'd fit right in.
Call that man Jared Sandler for his jinxes. I mean,
within seconds, dude, you hear the crack of the ball.
Uh-oh. Is that uh-oh for me? Uh-oh.
can we hear it in its entirety one more time, Lucius? Golly, this is so good.
Sixers' new president of basketball operations, Mike Ganzi, and head coach Nick Nurse down here as we go to the top half of the fifth inning. Fellas, thanks for joining us. Mike, welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How's everything going your first couple of days?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Glad we're out to an 8-0 start right
here.
Yeah,
we are. First game, man.
No
first
hitter. Game no hitter still intact.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Lizardo's been a...
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Mike. He almost said it.
Wow. Now, that's the old jinx, huh?
What is that laugh in there, too, there at
no
the
hitter
end.
Still intact.
I'm a basketball guy.
Oh, crap.
That is absolutely freaking fantastic, and I love that it happened to somebody in Philadelphia. Okay, and we can potentially close things down here in Sounds of the Sports Day. We take you to the world of tennis. This gentleman, Corentin Moutet, 27-year-old from France. He's currently 38th. In terms of player rankings in the world as a tennis player. And he just picked up a win against a fellow Frenchman in the round of 32 at the Queen's Club Championships. And this is the post-match interview.
That's so frustrating. You know, when I had the match point, I was on the second serve. Okay, you hit me in the middle. Whatever you do, you just put the ball in the court and then he hits me 142. I was like, fuck, I would have to serve and I would have to.
No F-bombs, please. No. Right, Corentin, I'm going to ask you one more question. Apologies, everyone, for the language there. I'm going to ask you one more question, so please keep it clean, okay? You on the grass, last week, unfortunately, didn't go your way. What's it like to get your first victory? Okay. Corentin, we need to improve that for the next round. Apologies, everyone. Corentin Moutet.
What a freaking savage, dude.
He was having none of that.
No.
Shut it down.
What a play by me.
That lady was trying.
Is this at Wimbledon?
No, this
is... It's before, the tournament before Wimbledon.
Okay. Yeah, this is the Queen's Club Championships. Yeah.
God save the Queen.
Sponsored by Aiden Ross.
Yeah.
Wow.
They freaked out over Alexi Lawless saying, full kit wanker.
Yeah.
The full kit did not sound like full kit.
No, it did not.
Yeah, at all.
No.
You had to go back to the instant replay there about 1,000 times.
You said what?
And you had to want to hear full kit.
I didn't know what he said until Dawson just said it. I thought
oh,
it was,
really?
The whole time I'm still thinking it was the effort.
Yeah, I guess a full kit wanker in England is a fan that dresses up in the full uniform. You know, they call the uniform the kit.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess that's a specific type of wanker over there, and that's a very common term.
It's a certain type of wanker.
The total sports fan who...
It's full kit.
You know, thinks he's going to the game, has his own last name printed on the back.
What kind of wanker are you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm a full kit.
Shoes and everything.
More of a full kit style myself. Super fan, if you will.
Oh, well, a semi-kit. Okay.
Where are we at? We're at hydration break here. 3-2.
Yeah, we're at hydration. Yeah.
We're at the cash grab.
We're selling, yeah, cash grab right now.
And we got some Cowboys Twitter coming up next. DC Christian Parker addressed reporters, had some interesting things to say. We'll give you highlights from that coming up next here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for some Cowboys Twitter top tweets going viral about America's team. Let's jump over here to Christian Parker. Cowboys defensive coordinator had a press session today before their minicamp practice. Went on for about 15 minutes or so. And one of the more interesting cuts early on was they were talking about their defensive communicators and how they choose who does that here, CP.
I think that, you know, communication on the field and in life in general is just different. You know, there's more extreme circumstances in the pre-snap in terms of what you need to communicate. So those guys embrace it. You know, there's certain people who are giving communication and certain people are receiving it by position, not necessarily by their personality. We don't really care about that. Like, if you're in a position of communication and you're commanding and you're responsible for the checks and things we have to do, that's what you have to do. So whether you say 1,000 words out of these walls or two, it doesn't matter. When we're on that grass, it's a premium.
So not necessarily looking for leaders or talkers, just guys that can get the message across. And yeah, that's consistent with how Christian Parker does it. He's very, I would say, succinct and blunt and very clear in his communication style. And, you know, if that leads to efficiency and better communication, I think that's one of the real positions that one of the real categories that you could improve upon significantly here for these Cowboys in 2026 compared to last year. Now, we got Clayton Adams talking as well about using multiple tight end looks. Quote, everything has a time and place. Obviously, when you have two elite receivers taking one of those guys off the field, you might get a greeting card from the defense afterwards. Thanks for taking Pickens or Lamb off the field, or I guess even Flannoy. I don't know, but what we do know is that the Cowboys are great in 11. The league's most efficient team in 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end. When they go to 12, 13, 21, they're lacking. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Can you have a great offense that you feel like could be resilient in the month of January with having one formation that you're awesome in? There's a lot of defenses around the league that are basically troubleshooting 11 as their standard move here with a lot of chess piece secondary type players.
Yeah, because you're kind of switching now to a lot of, you know, your nickel defense, right? That's kind of become a lot of teams' base, and that is to counteract what was the start of the 11 personnel trend, which McVay was able to run out of that as well. He kind of highlighted and got that kicked off back in 2018. Now he has gone ahead and done the, you know, zigging and zagging where he's making 13 personnel the new thing. And now this is the offseason where everybody wants to copycat that. I don't think you've got to have great tight ends to run it. you've just got to be able to have, I think, one guy. You got to be able to fit the parts of it, right? So, like, you need your one guy that can be your receiving threat out of it, but everybody just has to be able to know the basic fundamentals to do the job. I think the Cowboys could do it. I just don't think their strength right now with those three wide receivers, like, you don't need, just because the rest of the league is doing it, I think you need to have it in your back pocket and be able to go to it at times. I think in the red zone, like, there's certain areas of the field that can work really well. But gosh, to, you think, what are they going to be their most effective at? It is probably still going to be that 11 personnel, where you've got Pickens, Lamb, Flannoy, Williams all on the field together at the same time.
And I think for the regular season, that's great, but I think you need to become more physical. And as the defenses are getting smaller and faster, the answer is in physicality. And you know, you can't do everything in one off season. This was an off season about building on defense. But you know, the defense isn't dominant. You know, I think I would have looked at this offense and said we're kind of one dimensional. Brian, what do you think? Is this offense one dimensional? Is it too finesse?
I think there's. I think initially they ran the ball where you wouldn't think they were finesse, and then things kind of. I think they at times become finesse when they get in the red zone. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest
Which
issue.
Which goes to what Clay Denham said,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that in the opening segment.
Okay, yeah. That's. I mean, I'm sorry I missed that. But that's where if you look at the problems and how sometimes they try and formation people down in the red zone, I'm like going, oh, man, just try and you know, load this thing up and see if you could just push some people around a little bit. But I just, yeah, when people start to take away – they took away Pickens. I think that's when all of a sudden it's you're like, man, are we really just that kind of one dimensional? It became, oh, listen, we're just going to try and run slant. I mean, they were working on that today, running slants, you know, and that just seems to be kind of their answers in a lot of way. Oh, we need a play. Let's throw a slant here. I think they've got some things that they clearly need to get better on. But I would say just how they approach the red zone would be a big concern for me.
Yeah, like, oh, so Nate Tice, Football 301, we had him on to the Super Bowl. He's on the Mina Kimes podcast, and he's going viral today, picking the Cowboys to have the number one offense in the NFL.
Okay.
And his thought was the continuity factor, and, you know, guys getting better in year two with Clayton Adams and Brian Schottenheimer. And I'd love to have Nate on the show if we could to just push back a little bit, because I think they're physical in their middle three of their offensive line and with their running back, Javonte Williams. Outside of that, the tackle play. And I would love to believe it with the, I believe, sincerity and conviction that Nate Tice said that. And, you know, he's a guy that studies as much as anybody. But then Clayton Adams on the red zone stuff, he had a great moment in his press session today talking about self-inflicted wounds, negative plays, whether that's turnovers or like losing a down on first and goal or losing a yard from first and goal from the one. He specifically talked about how that's a killer for your chances of scoring touchdowns. But he did acknowledge, Brian, that they changed their identity from being run play action in certain down and distances, and then they get into the red zone. They want to be this drop back team throwing it to Pickens and Lamb too much.
Yeah, I think that is a big issue. By the way, England adding another goal here now 4-2. But yeah, I listen, there's a lot of things that I think that they can't. I'm going to be fascinated. And let me ask you guys this question, if I could. And Bobby Belt brought this up this morning, and he was talking about he felt like that if Flannoy, when Pickens' day is done, when, you know, if they don't re-sign him, you know, after the season, that they're not, that Flannoy is going to be that second wide.
Wait, you said Bobby brought that up?
Bobby brought that up.
That's weird.
Why's that?
I've only said it for a few months now on our show and on the stack.
Are you defensive about it?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Seems like it.
Yeah, you should
have
been.
That's not a Bobby idea.
That's what I'm talking about,
Well, I've been saying it on our very show right next to you.
He just brought it up. Well, I'm on with you in the stack every day.
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies then to you.
And it's not a Bobby
thing.
Bobby
brought it up this morning.
It does seem more credible when Bobby says it, though.
That's fair.
It's just Bobby brought it up. I'm just saying this morning, Bobby brought it up. That's all I'm saying. All right, but Bobby brought it up in a way of saying that Flannoy is going to be the number two. Have you said that? Yeah.
He said it with his mouth one time.
Floyd Roy's going to be the number two when Pickens leaves?
Yes. I've said this is the season where Ryan Flannoy steps up to where if they need to move on from George Pickens, he can slide in and be your wide receiver too. Check out my TikTok page right now. I've got a video that was up a week ago on it.
That's cool. Good job.
What's your
Bobby
handle?
Bobby said
at
this
Zach
morning.
Rocha.
Sounds like Bobby's jacking your content.
Maybe. They like to pretend that I do.
I was listening to Bobby this morning, and Bobby said it.
Bobby knows ball.
So, all right, we'll check your eye. You believe that. How about you, Chief? What about you? Do you think he's going to be the receiver?
Yeah, I do think he's very capable of doing that, and they're probably going to, you know, they're not going to want to throw a bunch of money at that particular position.
Sure.
So I think financially and with what you saw him do last year, I'm expecting another step to be taken for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. And then we just ran through earlier I didn't realize his attributes physically. Pretty big, super explosive, mm-hmm. you know, can jump and all those different things. His RAS score coming out of college was outstanding. So, yes, and I think they've really started to trust him as the season went on last year, dialing up plays for him in particular.
Yeah, two big 100-yard games. I would ask you this, Brian. How important is it that you have a real X? Because Flannoy is a Z. Pickens is an X.
I think
Lamb's
this is
more of a Z.
You haven't said anything about this, have you? The X or the Z's?
No.
Do you have an opinion on that?
I think Flannoy can play inside and out.
I don't think he can play inside.
You don't think so?
No, not at all. I think he's more of an X than he is a Z.
Flannoy is?
I think so. I think with his ability, with his body type, with his ability. We were watching him today at practice, and he was catching. They were down there in the red zone, and he was the inside routes that he was able to run. From the outside, though, I think that you put him on the line of scrimmage, his ability to escape, and I think his ability – Todd Archer and I were talking about this today. He catches every ball in his hands, every one of his – you don't see the ball get to his body. So, if to me, I see him more of being a guy that play – you put him on the line, let him win, let him go inside, let him win up the field. I could see that more than playing him as a slot or playing him as a Z.
Been a lot of good sixth-round picks for these Cowboys in my time covering them over the last 15 years.
A lot of bad second-round picks.
If that happens for Flannoy, he might take the cake.
Yeah.
You know, seems like he might have 1,000-yard potential in him. And I was just wondering if you thought Pickens-Flannoy was the better combination or if Lamb-Flannoy would be your – if you had to pick the combination of two, including Ryan.
I would pick if you said to me, I don't want to take Pickens out of this thing at all. But I think once he goes, like Zach was talking about, once Pickens goes,
Bobby. Well, what if Lamb has another season getting hurt and dropping the ball? You know, I just want to be open minded to that.
Yeah.
What if Pickens checks off all the boxes? I think he's a more dangerous player.
I personally felt like there were times where Pickens was a much better player than Lamb last year,
mm-hmm.
myself. But I don't. If you're going to get in a situation where. You're going to eat that salary cap money on that contract.
And I don't think the Joneses would ever trade
I think
an
the
ADA,
Joneses told you what they think about. I think they told you what they think about Pickens.
It's fun discussion, okay? And there's plenty more Cowboys content to go around as we head into hour number 4 of 5 tonight in the G-Bag Nation full show. England leads 4-2 with 6 minutes of stoppage time here between now and the final whistle. Where are we going next? We're going to John Machota of The Athletic talking Cowboys with you here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze. We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.